Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on day number 57, as my nose itches, of our Bible in 90 days. Welcome to the broadcast. Yeah, just making sure we're on the right, you know, never know. I say the wrong day. Day 57 of our Bible in 90 days. Thank you for being here. We are in the book of Jeremiah, which is a very intense book. It's pretty much an entire thing is rebuking Israel for worshiping false idols and serving other gods. So we're going to start off here in chapter 24. If you're following along in the Bible 90 days on the YouVersion/LifeChurch Bible app, thank you for joining and being a part and being in the chat and engaging. I'm doing my best not to be distracted by the chat like I always am. All right, here we go. Oh, let me get my little scroller here. If you guys are wondering, I use this to scroll. So like when you see my arms crossed and I'm still able to scroll, it's this little thing. That's pretty handy. That's why when I cross my arms like this and sit comfortable, I'm able to still go boop, 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 and scroll. All right. Anyways, let's do it. Chapter 24, Good and Bad Figs. After King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon exiled Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah to Babylon, along with the officials of Judah and all the craftsmen and artisans, the Lord gave me this vision. I saw two baskets of fig placed in front of the Lord's temple in Jerusalem. One basket was filled with fresh, ripe figs, while the other was filled with bad figs and were too rotten to eat. Then the Lord said to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" I replied, "Figs. Some are very good and some are very bad, too rotten to eat." Then the Lord gave me this message. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The good figs represent the exiles I sent from Judah to the land of Babylonians. I will watch over and care for them, and I'll bring them back here again. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. I'll give them their heart. I'll give them hearts that recognize me as the Lord. They'll be my people and I will be their God, for they will return to me wholeheartedly. But the bad figs, the Lord said, represent King Zedekiah of Judah, his officials, and all the people that left in Jerusalem and those who live in Egypt. I'll treat them like bad figs, too rotten to eat. I'll make them an object of horror and a symbol of evil to every nation on earth. They will be disgraced and mocked, taunted and cursed wherever I scatter them. And I will send war, famine, and disease until they have vanished from the land of Israel, which I gave to them and their ancestors. Now, a lot of these chapters are going to be very long, you're going to see. But that was a quick one. So enjoy that one because the rest are very long. Chapter 25, 70 years of captivity. This message for all the people of Judah came to Jeremiah from the Lord during the fourth year of Jehoiakim's reign over Judah. This was the year when Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon began his reign. Jeremiah the prophet said to all the people in Judah and Jerusalem, "For the past 23 years, from the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, until now, the Lord has been giving me this message. I faithfully pass him on to you, but you've not listened. Oh, his messages. Again and again, the Lord has sent you his servants, the prophets, but you have not listened or paid attention. Each time the message was this, turn from the evil road you're traveling on and from the evil things you are doing. Only then I will let you live in this land and the Lord gave you and your ancestors forever. Do not provoke my anger by worshiping idols you made with your own hands. Then I will not harm you. But you would not listen to me, says the Lord. You made me furious by worshiping idols you made with your own hands, bringing on yourselves all the disasters you now suffer. And now the Lord of heaven's army says, because you've not listened to me, I will gather together all the armies of the north under King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, whom I appointed as my deputy. I will bring them all against this land and its people and against the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy you and make you an object of horror and contempt and ruin forever. I will take away your happy singing and laughter. The joyful voices of bridegrooms and brides will no longer be heard. Your millstones will fall silent, and the lights in your homes will go out. This entire land will become a desolate wasteland. Israel and her neighboring lands will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Then after the 70 years of captivity are over, I will punish the king of Babylon and his people for their sins, says the Lord. I will make the country of the Babylonians a wasteland forever. I will bring upon them all the terrors I promised in this book, all the penalties announced by Jeremiah against the nations. Many nations and great kings will enslave the Babylonians, just as they enslaved my people. I will punish them in proportion to the suffering they caused my people. The cup of the Lord's anger. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me. Take from my hand this cup filled to the brim with my anger and make all the nations I send you drink from it. When they drink it, they will stagger, crazed by the warfare I will send against them. So I took the cup of anger from the Lord and made all the nations drink it. Every nation to which the Lord sent me, I went to Jerusalem and the other towns of Judah, and their kings and officials drank from the cup. From that day until this, they have been a desolate ruin, an object of horror, contempt, and cursing. I gave the cup to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his attendants, his officials, and all his people, along with the foreigners living in the land. I also gave to all the kings of the land of Uz and the kings of the Philistine cities of Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and remains of Ashdod. Then I gave the cup to the nations of Edom, Moab, and Ammon, and the kings of Tyre and Sidon, and the kings of the regions across the sea. I gave it to Dedan, Tema, and Buz, and to the people who lived in distant lands. I gave it to the kings of Arabia, the kings of nomadic tribes of the desert. I gave it to the kings of Zimri, Elam, and Media. And I gave it to the kings of the northern countries, far, near, one after the other, all the kingdoms of the world. And finally, the king of Babylon himself drank from the cup of the Lord's anger. Then the Lord said to me, "Now tell them, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Drink from this cup of my anger, get drunk and vomit, fall to rise no more, for I'm sending terrible wars against you. And if you refuse to accept the cup, tell them, the Lord of heaven's army says, you have no choice but to drink from it. I began to punish Jerusalem, the city that bears my name. Now should I let you go unpunished? No, you will not escape disaster. I will call for war against all the nations of the earth. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. Now prophesy all these things and say to them, the Lord will roar against his own land from his holy dwelling in heaven. He will shout like those who tread grapes. He will shout against everyone on earth. His cry of judgment will reach the ends of the earth, for the Lord will bring his case against all the nations. He will judge all the people of the earth, slaughtering the wicked with the sword. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is what the Lord of heaven's army says. Look, disaster will fall upon nation after nation. A great whirlwind of fury is rising from the most distant corners of the earth. In that day, the Lord has slaughtered those who the Lord has slaughtered will fill the earth from one end to the other. No one will mourn for them, or gather their bodies to bury them. They will be scattered on the ground like manure." I gotta sneeze. Hold on.
Oh,
got a sneeze coming.
Ooh.
Excuse me. "Weep and moan, you evil shepherds. Roll in the dust, you leaders of the flock. The time of your slaughter has arrived. You will fall and shatter like a fragile vase. You will find no place to hide. There will be no way to escape. Listen to the frantic cries of the shepherds. The leaders of the flock are wailing in despair, for the Lord is ruining their pastures. Peaceful meadows will be turned into a wasteland by the Lord's fierce anger. He's left his den like a strong lion seeking its prey, and their land will be made desolate by the sword of the enemy and the Lord's fierce anger." Chapter 26, Jeremiah's escape from death. This message came to Jeremiah from the Lord early in the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. This is what the Lord says. "Stand in the courtyard in front of the temple of the Lord and make an announcement to the people who come there to worship from all over Judah. Give them my entire message, including every word. Perhaps they will listen and turn from their evil ways. Then I will change my mind about the disaster I'm about to pour out on them because of their sins. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. If you will not listen to me and obey my word I've given you, and you will not listen to my servants, the prophets, for I sent them again and again to warn you, but you would not listen to them, then I'll destroy this temple as I destroyed Shiloh, the place where the tabernacle is located. And I'll make Jerusalem an object of cursing in every nation on earth." The priests, the prophets, and all the people listened to Jeremiah in front of the Lord's temple. When Jeremiah had finished his message saying everything the Lord had told him to say, the priests and prophets and all the people at the temple mobbed him. "Kill him," they shouted. "What right do you have to prophesy in the Lord's name? And this temple will be destroyed like Shiloh? What do you mean, saying that Jerusalem will be destroyed and left with no inhabitants?" And all the people threatened him as they stood in front of the temple. When the officials of Judah heard what was happening, they rushed over from the palace and sat down in the new gate of the temple to hold court. The priests and prophets presented their accusations to the officials and people. "This man should die," they said. "You've heard with your own ears what a traitor he is, for he's prophesied against the city." Then Jeremiah spoke to the officials and the people in his defense. "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this temple and the city," he said. "The Lord gave me every word that I've spoken. But if you stop sinning and begin to obey the Lord your God, he will change his mind about this disaster that has been announced against you. For as for me, I'm in your hands. Do with me as you think best. But if you kill me, rest assured you'll be killing an innocent man. The responsibility for such a deed will lie on you, on the city, and every person living in it. For it is absolutely true that the Lord sent me to speak every word you've heard." Then the officials and the people said to the priests and prophets, "This man does not deserve the death sentence, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God." Then some of the wise old men stood and spoke to all the people assembled there. They said, "Remember when Micah of Maresheth prophesied during the reign of King Hezekiah of Judah? He told the people of Judah, this is what the Lord of the heaven's army says. Mount Zion will be plowed like an open field. Jerusalem will be reduced to ruins. A thicket will grow on the heights where the temple now stands. But did King Hezekiah and the people kill him for saying this? No, they turned from their sins and worshiped the Lord. They begged him for mercy. Then the Lord changed his mind about the terrible disasters he pronounced against them. So we are about to do ourselves great harm. At this time, Uriah, son of Shemaiah from Kiriath-Jearim, was also prophesying for the Lord, and he predicted the same terrible disaster against the city and the nations Jeremiah did. When King Jehoiakim and the army officers and officials heard what he was saying, the king sent someone to kill him. But Uriah heard about the plan and escaped in fear to Egypt. Then King Jehoiakim sent Elnathan, son of Achbor, to Egypt, along with several other men to capture Uriah. They took him prisoner and brought him back to King Jehoiakim. The king killed Uriah with the sword and had him buried in an unmarked grave. Nevertheless, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, stood up to Jeremiah and persuaded the court not to turn him over to the mob to be killed. Chapter 27, Jeremiah wears an ox yoke. This message came to Jeremiah from the Lord early in the reign of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah. This is what the Lord said to me. Make a yoke and fasten it on your neck with leather straps. Then send messengers to the king of Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre, and Sidon throughout the ambassadors who have come to see King Zedekiah in Jerusalem. Give them this message to their masters. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. With my great strength and powerful arm, I made the earth and all its people and every animal. I can give these things of mine to anyone I choose. Now I will give your countries to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who is my servant. I put everything, even the wild animals, under his control. All the nations will serve him, his son and his grandson, until his time is up. And then many nations and great kings will conquer and rule over Babylon. So you must submit to Babylon's king and serve him. Put your neck under Babylon's yoke. I will punish any nation that refuses to be his slave, says the Lord. I will send war, famine, and disease among the nations until Babylon has conquered it. Do not listen to your false prophets, fortune tellers, interpreters of dreams, mediums, and sorcerers who say, the king of Babylon will not conquer you. They are all liars, and their lies will lead to you being driven out of your land. I will drive you out and send you far away to die. But the people of any nation that submits to the king of Babylon will not be allowed to stay in their own country to farm the land as usual. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then I repeated the same message to King Zedekiah of Judah. If you want to live, submit to the yoke of the king of Babylon and his people. Why do you insist on dying, you and your people? Why should you choose war, famine, and disease, which the Lord will bring against every nation that refuses to submit to Babylon's king? Do not listen to the false prophets that keep telling you the king of Babylon will not conquer you. They're liars. This is what the Lord says. I have not sent these prophets. They're telling you lies in my name, so I'll drive you out from this land. You will all die, and all these prophets too. Then I spoke to the priests and the people and said, this is what the Lord says. Do not listen to your prophets who claim that soon the gold articles will be taken from the temple, will be returned to Babylon. It's all a lie. Do not listen to them. Surrender to the king of Babylon and you'll live. Why should the whole city be destroyed? If they really are prophets and speak the Lord's message, let them pray to the Lord of Heaven's armies. Let them pray that the articles remaining in the Lord's temple and in the king's palace and in the palaces of Jerusalem will not be carried away to Babylon. For the Lord of Heaven's armies has spoken about the pillars in front of the temple, the great bronze basin called the sea, the water carts, and all the other ceremonial articles. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon left them here when he exiled Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, to Babylon, along with all the other nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yes, this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says about the precious things still in the temple, in the palace of Judah's king, and in Jerusalem. They will all be carried away to Babylon and will stay there until I send for them, says the Lord. Then I'll bring them back to Jerusalem again. Chapter 28, Jeremiah condemns Hananiah. One day in late summer of that same year, the fourth year of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, Hananiah, son of Azur, a prophet from Gibeon, addressed me publicly in the temple while all the priests and people listened. He said, this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. I'll remove the yoke of the king of Babylon from your necks. Within 2 years, I'll bring back all the temple treasures and King Nebuchadnezzar carried off to Babylon. And I'll bring back Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other captives that were taken to Babylon. I will surely break the yoke that the king of Babylon has put on your necks. I, the Lord, have spoken. Jeremiah responded to Hananiah as they stood in front of all the priests and people at the temple. He said, amen. May your prophecies come true. I hope the Lord does everything you say. I hope he does bring back the Babylon, the treasures of this temple and all the captives. But listen now to the solemn words I speak to you in the presence of all these people. The ancient prophets who preceded you and make me speaking and me speak. Let me say it again. The ancient prophets who preceded you and me spoke against many nations, always warning of war, disaster, and disease. So a prophet who predicts peace must show he is right. Only when his predictions come true can we know that he's really from the Lord. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off of Jeremiah's neck and broke it in pieces. And Hananiah said again to the crowd that gathered, this is what the Lord says. Just as this yoke has been broken, within 2 years I will break the yoke of oppression from all the nations now subject to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. With that, Jeremiah left the temple area. Soon after this confrontation with Hananiah, the Lord gave this message to Jeremiah. Go and tell Hananiah, this is what the Lord says. You have broken a wooden yoke, but you have replaced it with a yoke of iron. The Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says, I put a yoke of iron on the necks of all these nations, forcing them into slavery under King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. I put everything, even the wild animals, under his control. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah, "Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but the people believe your lies. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. You must die. Your life will end this very year because you've rebelled against the Lord." And 2 months later, the prophet Hananiah died. Chapter 29, a letter to the exiles. Jeremiah wrote a letter from Jerusalem to the elders, priests, prophets, and all the people that had been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. This was after King Jehoiachin, the queen mother, the court officials, and the other officials of Judah, and all the craftsmen and artisans had been deported from Jerusalem. He sent the letter with Elasa, son of Shephan, and Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, when they went to Babylon as King Zedekiah's ambassadors to Nebuchadnezzar. This is what Jeremiah's letter said. "This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you may have grandchildren and multiply. Don't dwindle away. And work for peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for it is welfare will determine your welfare." Okay. "This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams. Because they are telling lies in my name, I have not sent them, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. You'll be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for all the good things I promise, and I'll bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans," this is the famous verse, "they are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. You claim that the Lord has raised up prophets for you in Babylon, but this is what the Lord says about the king who sits on David's throne and all those still living in Jerusalem, your relatives who are in exile to Babylon. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. I will send war, famine, and disease upon them and make them like bad figs too rotten to eat. Yes, I will pursue them with war, famine, and disease, and I will scatter them around the world and every nation where I send them. I will make an object of damnation, horror, contempt, and mockery. For they refuse to listen to me, though I have spoken to them repeatedly through the prophets I sent, and you are in exile, I have not listened either, says the Lord. Therefore, listen to this message from the Lord, all you captives there in Babylon. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says about your prophets, Ahab, son of Kaliah, and Zedekiah, son of Masiah, who are telling you lies in my name. I'll turn them over to Nebuchadnezzar for execution before your eyes. Their terrible fate will become proverbial so that the Judean exiles will curse someone by saying, 'May the Lord make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon burned alive.' For these men have done terrible things among my people. They've committed adultery with their neighbors' wives and have lied in my name, saying things I did not command. I'm witness to this. I, the Lord, have spoken." Message for Shemaiah. The Lord sent this message to Shemaiah, the Nehelamite in Babylon. "This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. You wrote a letter on your own authority to Zephaniah, son of Messiah, the priest, and sent copies to the other priests and people in Jerusalem. You wrote to Zephaniah, 'The Lord has appointed you to replace Jehoiada as the priest in charge of the house of the Lord. You're responsible to put in stocks and neck irons any crazy man who claims to be a prophet. So why have you done nothing to stop Jeremiah from Anathoth, who pretends to be a prophet among you? Jeremiah sent a letter here to Babylon predicting that our captivity will be a long one. He said, 'Build homes and plan to stay, plant gardens and eat the food they produce.' But when Zephaniah the priest received Shemaiah's letter, he took it to Jeremiah and read it to him. Then the Lord gave this message to Jeremiah. 'Send an open letter to all the exiles in Babylon. Tell them this is what the Lord says concerning Shemaiah, the Nehelamite. Since he has prophesied to you when I did not send him and has tricked you into believing his lies, I will punish him and his family. None of his descendants will see the good things I will do for my people, for he has incited you to rebel against me. I, the Lord, have spoken." Chapter 30, promises of deliverance. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Write down for the record everything I've said to you, Jeremiah. For the time is coming when I'll restore the fortunes of my people of Israel and Judah. I'll bring them home to this land that I gave to their ancestors, and they'll possess it again. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the message the Lord gave concerning Israel and Judah. This is what the Lord says. I hear cries of fear. There's terror and no peace. Now let me ask you a question. Do men give birth to babies? They do. Then why do you stand there ashen-faced, hands pressed against their sides like women in labor? In all history, there's never been such a time of terror. It'll be a time of trouble for my people Israel. Yet in the end, they will be saved. For in that day, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will break the yoke from their necks and snap their chains. Foreigners will no longer be their masters, for my people will serve the Lord their God, and their kings descended from David, the king I will raise up for them. So do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant. Do not be dismayed, Israel, says the Lord, for I'll bring you home again from distant lands, and your children will return from their exile. Israel will return to a life of peace and quiet, and no one will terrorize them. For I am with you and will save you, says the Lord. I will completely destroy the nations where I have scattered you, but I will not completely destroy you. I will discipline you, but with justice I cannot let you go unpunished. This is what the Lord says. Your injury is incurable, a terrible wound. There's no one to help you or to bind up your injuries. No medicine can heal you. All your lovers, your allies, have left you and do not care about you anymore. I've wounded you cruelly as though I were your enemy. For the sins are many and your guilt is great. Why do you protest your punishment? This wound has no cure. I've had to punish you because your sins are many and your guilt is great. But all who devour you will be devoured, and all your enemies will be sent into exile. All who plunder you will be plundered, and all who attack you will be attacked. I'll give you back your health and heal your wounds, says the Lord. For you're called an outcast, Jerusalem, for whom no one cares. This is what the Lord says. When I bring Israel home again from captivity and restore their fortunes, Jerusalem will be rebuilt on its ruins and the place reconstructed as before. There will be joy and songs of thanksgiving, and I will multiply my people, not diminish them. I will honor them, not despise them. Their children will prosper as they did long ago. I will establish them as a nation before me, and I will punish anyone who hurts them. They will have their own ruler again, and he'll come from their own people. I'll invite him to approach me, says the Lord, for who would dare to come unless invited? You will be my people, and I will be your God. Look, the Lord's anger bursts out like a storm, a driving wind that swirls down on the heads of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not diminish until it has finished all he has planned. In days to come, you will understand all of this. Chapter 31, Hope for Restoration. And that day, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. Those who survive the coming destruction will find blessing even in the barren land, for I give rest to the people of Israel. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I've loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With an unfailing love, I've drawn you to myself. I will rebuild you, my virgin Israel. You will again be happy and dance merrily with your tambourines. Again, you'll plant your vineyards on the mountains of Samaria and eat from your own gardens there. The day will come when watchmen will shout from the hill country of Ephraim, come, let us go up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord our God. Now, this is what the Lord says. Sing with joy for Israel. Shout for the greatest of nations. Shout out with a praise and joy. Save your people, O Lord, the remnant of Israel. For I will bring them from the north and from the distant corners of the earth. I will not forget the blind and lame and expectant mothers and women in labor. A great company will return. Tears of joy will stream down their faces, and I will lead them home with great care. They will walk beside quiet streams and on smooth paths where they will not stumble, for I am Israel's father and Ephraim is my oldest child. Listen to the message from the Lord, the nations of the world. Proclaim it in distant coastlands. The Lord who scattered his people will gather them and watch over them as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Israel from those too strong for them. They will come home and sing songs of joy in the heights of Jerusalem. They will be radiant because of the Lord's good gifts and abundant crops of grain, new wine and olive oil, and all the healthy flocks and herds. Their life will be like a watered garden, and all their sorrows will be gone. The young women will dance for joy, and the men, old and young, will join in the celebration. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and exchange their sorrow for rejoicing. The priests will enjoy abundance, and my people will feast on my good gifts. I, the Lord, have spoken. Rachel's sadness turns to joy. This is what the Lord says. A cry is heard in Ramah, deep anguish and bitter weeping. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for her children are gone. But now this is what the Lord says. Do not weep any longer, for I will reward you, says the Lord. Your children will come back to you from the distant lands of the enemy. There is hope for the future, says the Lord. Your children will come again to their own land. I've heard Israel saying, you discipline me severely, like a calf that needs training for the yoke. Turn me again to you and restore me, for you alone are the Lord my God. I turned away from God, but then I was sorry. I kicked myself for my stupidity. I was thoroughly ashamed of all I did in my younger days. Is Israel not still my son, my darling child, says the Lord? I have often to punish him, but I still love him. This is why I long for him and surely will have mercy on him. Set up road signs, put up guideposts, mark well the path by which you came. Come back again, my virgin Israel. Return to your towns here. How long will you wander, my wayward daughter? For the Lord will cause something new to happen. Israel will embrace her God. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. When I bring them back from captivity, the people of Judah and its towns will again say, the Lord bless you, O righteous home, O holy mountain. Townspeople and farmers and shepherds alike will live together in peace and happiness. For I've given rest to the weary and joy to the sorrowing. At this, I woke up and looked around. My sleep had been very sweet. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will greatly increase the human population and the number of animals here in Israel and Judah. In the past, I deliberately uprooted and tore, this is a long chapter, and tore down this nation. I overthrew it, destroyed it, and brought disaster upon it. But in the future, I will just as deliberately plant it and build it up. I, the Lord, have spoken. The people no longer quote this proverb. The parents have eaten sour grapes, but their children's mouth pucker at the taste. All people die for their own sins. Those who eat the sour grapes will be the ones whose mouth pucker. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke the covenant, though I loved them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord. And I'll forgive their wickedness, and I'll never again remember their sins. It is the Lord who provides the sun to light the day, and the moon stars to light the night. And who steers the sea into roaring waves. His name is the Lord of Heaven's armies, and this is what he says. I am as likely to reject my people Israel as I am to abolish the laws of nature. This is what the Lord says. Just as the heavens cannot be measured and the foundations of the earth cannot be explored, so I will not consider casting them away for the evil they've done. I, the Lord, have spoken. The day is coming, says the Lord, when all Jerusalem will be rebuilt for me. The tower of Hananel to the corner gate. A measuring line will be stretched out over the hill of Gareb and across to Goa, and the entire area, including the graveyard and ash dump in the valley and all the fields out the Kidron Valley on the east as far as the horse gate will be holy to the Lord. The city will never again be captured or destroyed. Chapter 32, Jeremiah's land purchase. The following message came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of the reign of Zedekiah, the king of Judah. This was also the 18th year of the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar. Jerusalem was under siege from the Babylonian army, and Jeremiah was imprisoned in the courtyard of the guard in the royal palace. King Zedekiah put him there, asking why he kept giving this prophecy. This is what the Lord says. I'm about to hand the city over to the king of Babylon, and he will take it. King Zedekiah will be captured by the Babylonians and taken to meet the king of Babylon face to face. He will take Zedekiah to Babylon and will deal with him there, says the Lord. If you fight against the Babylonians, you'll never succeed. At that time, the Lord sent me this message. He said, your cousin Hanamel, son of Shalom, will come and say to you, buy my field at Anathoth. By law, you have the right to buy it before it's offered to anyone else. Then, just as the Lord had said he would, my cousin Hanamel came and visited me in prison. He said, please buy my field at Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. By law, you have the right to buy it if it is offered to anyone else, so buy it for yourself. Then I knew the message I heard was from the Lord. So I bought the field at Anathoth, paying Hanamel 17 pieces of silver for it. I signed and sealed the deed of purchase before witnesses, weighed out the silver, and paid him. Then I took the sealed deed and unsealed copy of the deed, which contained the terms and conditions of the purchase, and I handed them to Baruch, son of Neriah, the grandson of Mishiah. I did all this in the presence of my cousin Hanamel, the witnesses who had signed the deed, and all the men of Judah who were there in the courtyard of the guardhouse. Then I said to Baruch, as they all listened, this is what the Lord God of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Take both sealed deed and unsealed copy and put them into a pottery jar to preserve them for a long time. For this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Somebody will again own property here in this land and will buy and sell houses and vineyards and fields. Jeremiah's prayer. Then after I'd given the papers to Baruch, I prayed to the Lord. O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and earth by your strong and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You've showed unfailing love to thousands, but you also bring consequences of one generation's sin upon the next. You're the great and powerful God, the Lord of Heaven's armies. You have all wisdom and do great mighty miracles. You see the conduct of all people and you give them what they deserve. You perform miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Things will still remember to this day. And you've continued to do great miracles in Israel and all around the world. You've made your name famous to this day. You brought Israel out of Egypt with the mighty signs and wonders, with a strong hand and a powerful arm, and with overwhelming terror. You gave the people of Israel this land that you had promised their ancestors long before, a land flowing with milk and honey. Our ancestors came and conquered it and lived in it, but they refused to obey you or follow your word. They have not done anything you commanded. That is why you've sent this terrible disaster upon them. See how their siege ramps have been built against the city walls. Through famine and disease, the city will be handed over to the Babylonians, who will conquer it. Everything has happened just as you said. And yet, O sovereign Lord, you have told me to buy the field, paying good money for it because of these before these witnesses, even though the city will be handed over to the Babylonians. A prediction of Jerusalem's fall. Then this message came to Jeremiah from the Lord. I am the Lord, the God of all the people of the world. Is anything too hard for me? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I will hand this city over heard this before here. I will hand the city over to the Babylonians and to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he'll capture it. The Babylonians outside the wall will come in and set fire to the city. They will burn down all these houses where the people provoked my anger and burned incense to Baal on the rooftops and poured liquid offerings to other gods. What a long chapter here. Israel and Judah have done nothing but wrong since their earliest days. They've infuriated me with their evil deeds, says the Lord. From the time the city was built until now, it has done nothing but anger me, so I determined to get rid of it. The sins of Israel and Judah, the sins of the people of Jerusalem, the kings, the officials, the priests, and the prophets have stirred up my anger. My people have turned their backs on me and refused to return, even though I diligently taught them they would not receive instruction or obey. They've set up their abominable idols right in my own temple, defiling it. They've built pagan shrines to Baal in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, and there they sacrificed their sons and daughters to Moloch. I've never commanded such a horrible deed. It's never even crossed my mind to command such a thing. What an incredible evil, causing Judah to sin greatly. A promise of restoration. Now I want to say something more about the city. You've been saying it will fall into the king of Babylon through war, famine, and disease. But this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I will certainly bring my people back again from all the countries where I will scatter them in my fury. I will bring them back to this very city and let them live in peace and safety. They will be my people and I'll be their God. And I will give them one heart and one purpose to worship me forever for their own good and the good of all their descendants. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good for them. I will put a desire in their hearts to worship me and they'll never leave me. I'll find joy doing good for them and will faithfully and wholeheartedly replant them in this land. This is what the Lord says. Just as I've brought all these calamities on them, so I will do all the good I've promised them. Fields will again be brought and sold in this land, which you now say, it has been ravaged by the Babylonians, a desolate land where people and animals have all disappeared. Yes, fields will once again be bought and sold, deeds signed and sealed and witnessed in the land of Benjamin and here in Jerusalem, in the towns of Judah and the hill country and in the foothills of Judah and in the Negev too, for someday I will restore prosperity to them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Last chapter. That's not too long. 33. Promises of peace and prosperity. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the Lord gave him the second message. This is what the Lord says. The Lord who made the earth, who formed and established it, whose name is the Lord. Ask me and I'll tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. You've torn down the houses of the city and even the king's palace to get materials to strengthen the walls against the siege ramps and swords of the enemy. You expect to fight the Babylonians, but the men of the city are already as good as dead, for I've determined to destroy them in my terrible anger. I've abandoned them because of all their wickedness. Nevertheless, the time will come when I will heal Jerusalem's wounds and give prosperity and true peace. I'll restore the fortunes of Judah and Israel and rebuild their towns. I'll cleanse them of their sins against me and forgive all their sins of rebellion. Then this city will bring me joy, glory, and honor before all the nations of the earth. The people of the world will see all the good I do for my people, and they will tremble with awe at the peace and prosperity I provide for them. This is what the Lord says. You've said, this is a desolate land where people and animals have all disappeared. Yet in the empty streets of Jerusalem and Judah's other towns, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and laughter. The joyful voices of bridegrooms and brides will be heard again, along with the joyous songs of the people bringing thanksgiving offerings to the Lord. They will sing, give thanks to the Lord of heaven's armies, for the Lord is good, his faithful love endures forever. For I'll restore the prosperity of this land to what it was in the past, says the Lord. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. This land, though is now desolate and has no people and animals, will once more have pastures where shepherds can lead their flock. Once again, shepherds will count their flock in the towns of the hill country, the foothills of Judah, and the Negev, the land of Benjamin, the vicinity of Jerusalem, and all the towns of Judah. I, the Lord, have spoken. The day will come, says the Lord, when I will do for Israel and Judah the good things I promised them. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He'll do what is just, and throughout the land, in that day, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This will be its name. The Lord is our righteousness. For this is what the Lord says. David will have a descendant sitting on the throne of Israel forever, and there will always be a Levitical priest to offer burnt offerings and grain offerings and sacrifices to them. Then this message came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. If you can break my covenant within the day and the night so that no one does follow the other, only then will my covenant with my servant David be broken. Only then will there no longer be a descendant to reign on his throne. The same is true for my covenant with the Levitical priests who minister before me. As the stars of the sky cannot be counted and the sand of the seashores cannot be measured, so I will multiply the descendants of my servant David and the Levites who minister before me. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, have you noticed what people are saying? The Lord chose Judah and Israel and abandoned them. They're sneering and saying that Israel is not worthy to be counted as a nation. But this is what the Lord says. I would no more reject my people than I would change my laws that govern day and night, earth and sky. I will never abandon the descendants of Jacob or David, my servants, or change the plans of David's descendants will rule the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Instead, I will restore them to the land and have mercy on them. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our reading for today. Wow, those are some long chapters, but it was only 35 minutes. But yeah, the chapters are just, whoo, lots of messages from the Lord and rebuke to the people. I hope you're enjoying this. I am, today is Saturday, so I'm going to go hang out with the family, but I appreciate every single one of you being in the chat. I love you guys so much. And as always, I will be live again tomorrow at 2 o'clock every single day. We're doing it, guys. We're going to 90 days. We're not quitting. Here we go. See you guys tomorrow at 2. Love y'all. Thanks for the support. Make sure you get the book and make sure you support in the links. Or pray for us. That's the best support. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.